we've been talking about on Sundays that forgiveness is not the issue anymore. We're already forgiven. And so forgiveness just isn't the issue. And the fact that I have a lot of people that always say to me, if you don't ask for forgiveness, you know, what do you do? Well, the fact is I rejoice in the fact that I'm forgiven. I rejoice in the fact that it's something that's been taken care of. I'll tell you what, just to get started, let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Instead of just talking about it, we might as well just read it, because that's what we need to do anyway. But I've been having a lot of good conversations with some people from work, and it's kind of exciting. So y'all remember that. But this was one of the conversation pieces this week, and even talked to Paul some this week on this basis back and forth. Hey, did you ever get my email?
No.
No, I sent it late last night.
I know.
All right. Okay. We can't get our emails working. Anyway. All right. We're going to blame it on the devil. That's what we're going to do. I used to would really use that. I did not mean that a bit. Okay? Chapter 15 is just one of the conversation pieces that I believe is the biggest mark that we can make when it comes to our doctrine as far as our salvation, unless we don't believe what we say we believe. And the funny thing is a lot of people today will tell you, yeah, I believe that, and they add everything in the world to it. And when you add it, what does it do? It shadows what the cross did every time. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight also. There's a point that not only do we become saints when we're saved, but there's a point where we make a stand for what we believe in. We become Christ-like on the outward part also if we trust in the Spirit and not those things in the flesh. And he goes on and says, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered," that means it's been given to him, "unto you, first of all, that which I also received." So Paul didn't give anything new that he hadn't already gotten. Okay, what he was giving out is the very thing that he had gotten from Christ himself. Not by man, which Galatians talks about, but by Christ himself. The risen Christ. Not the Christ that walked the earth, that gave the message of John the Baptist and his own message to the other disciples. But Paul never received anything from man. In Galatians it talks about he did not go to man, but the issue was Christ gave it to him himself, the risen Christ. And that's why Paul talks about in a lot of places in Corinthians that he wasn't a whit behind those other disciples. He was the last apostle to receive the last word of the truth of the revelation of the dispensation. And I made mention a while back, is it's funny, people want to go back to the law of Moses. And to do that, you would have to ignore those things that Paul writes about in Romans about being dead to the law. You can't pick up both. You can only pick up one or the other, because you can't do both. You can't be dead to the law and fulfill the law of Moses. Right? It just doesn't work that way. The issue is the law of Christ, what He did. The gospel of Christ, why you're saved. And in verse 3 he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." That's about as important as you can get when it comes to forgiveness and the issue of becoming a saint, unless you've believed in vain. That is the issue. And so we don't need to make forgiveness the issue anymore as far as a matter of coming down the aisle or asking for forgiveness or doing anything special or asking Jesus into your heart and asking to forgive you of all your sins. The issue is you can sit right where you're at right now and have an understanding that the issue with forgiveness has been settled. I've trusted in what Christ did at the cross for my salvation, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again the third day, and that he forgave me of my sins. You know, those disciples, that flock that believed Jesus was the Messiah, believed that Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected. But the issue was forgiveness of sins, and the things that they continued to have to do under the law. And that's something that makes this dispensation totally different. In saying all that, the conversation was, is we talked about even Sunday, we said, well, you just think you can do anything you want to do then. Absolutely. You can when it comes to your salvation if you've trusted what Christ did on the cross. But I don't want to do those things. I'm a new creation. I am a new person. It is Christ that lives in me. And I can continue to have that attitude as long as I continue to be responsible and renew my mind. Or what happens if you don't? To know that? To walk away from that faith that you have just gotten? And to be irresponsible? You start doing what? Trusting in those things of the flesh again. And so it's an issue more than just being saved and just having this easy believism. The issue is, once you understand the knowledge and the truth of the gospel of grace, the issue now is you have more of a responsibility to live the way you need to live or the way that Christ has called you to live. You have more of a responsibility because you don't have just a list to follow and a way to check your list off of being right and wrong. Now the issue is being responsible to Christ living in you and having a liberty, but not the liberty, to do whatever you want to do. And so a lot of people here that have trusted in Christ as their personal Savior and just believe that they can be unfaithful to anything now, They're on a course of not having, you may have the peace of God, but not peace with God. And so that's a major issue that we need to hold on to. So it's important that we know our Word, that we see our Word. And we talked about last week those differences in Ephesians, in Colossians, in Philippians, the way Paul addresses those churches compared to the way he addresses the Corinthian church. Totally different the way he addresses them. In 1 Corinthians, if you'll just go there to chapter 1, we touched on last week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'll look at just starting verse 1, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. That tells you something right there, is he's thanking God on their behalf. The issue is not their salvation. The issue is not that they're not saints, because they became saints at the moment they were saved. Right? But the issue was, is Paul was thanking God on their behalf. Because if you study the book of Corinthians, you'll see there was one issue after another of the way they were living and the way that Paul had to continue teaching them elementary, on the milk, not on the meat, and the difference that when he talks about in Ephesians Ephesians and Philippians, the issue of talking to them on the basis of giving them wisdom, giving them knowledge, being thankful in a different way. Does that make sense? And so there's a measure of, as you read these letters of Paul, you can just about picture what these letters go to and who they go to and how these people were. Whether they were responsible after they received their sainthood, whether they were faithful after they received their sainthood, or whether they weren't. And I honestly believe, as a grace believer, as understanding the gospel of grace, we need to have an understanding ourselves that we have a responsibility so that others know to take a stand, to be a minister of reconciliation. Right? That's what we have, whatever the cost. It cost Paul a lot. It cost me a lot. In fact, Paul was left how? By himself. So I want to look at some comparisons to that. I just want to see a few. I want you to see a few things in that. In 1 Corinthians, if you go to chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There was an issue here in the Corinthian church. Number one, they were following men, if you study chapter 1, and they were shadowing the cross because they were more concerned with who had baptized them than to understand what Paul had been preaching the whole time, that baptism wasn't the issue anymore. That he was glad he hadn't baptized any other besides who he talked about who he had baptized. But they were saying, well, I was baptized by so-and-so. I was baptized by... The issue was about man, and they were following man. And they were following idols. And there was discord all through the different assemblies, all through Corinth. And that's why Paul wrote this letter after he had visited them. But he still, we'll read this, and I used to read it and thinking, well, these people must not be saved. I mean, did you ever have that habit when you used to read your Bible and you didn't have an understanding, you'd read it as if, well, these people, if they're that bad, they must not be saved. These letters were written to people who had grasped the gospel of grace. Who people that Paul spent time with went away, heard issues, and wrote them a letter. By the way, you see the problems not only in 1 Corinthians, you see them in 2 Corinthians too, if you study it. So they never get the issue that they have a calling after they've trusted in Christ as their Savior. They have a responsibility. And so, in the same way, so do we. So, it doesn't just stop at the point that we know we're forgiven and we've trusted in Christ for our salvation. It's the point that we have a... what is it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The Great Commission that people call. That's not our commission. Our commission is to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a minister of reconciliation. That's our calling. And Paul could not give them that calling. He could not give them deeper things or more spiritual things because they grasped the knowledge of grace. They were saints, but he had to thank God on their behalf because evidently they forgot about their responsibilities. Amen? And you can see that from chapter after chapter after chapter. The best example is what he says here in verse chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So not only the fact that Paul spent time with them in Corinth to show them the truth, he had to continue to do that evidently. And the issue is now, years later, he has to write a letter because of an issue in the house of Chloe. Okay? And he still can't give them any depth or any spiritual wisdom or knowledge. The question is, that's something we need to search within ourselves when we study our Word or when we hear the Word. A lot of times you have to continue to hear the elementary things because you don't take time to stay in the Word, to study, to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. The issue was, as I can assure you, by looking at this letter and the issues that they had, when the conversation about what Christ had done, the risen Christ, and how they needed to minister, more than likely, when they were attested against others that believed differently, like idol worshippers, or like Judaism, or like those saying, well, you need to be circumcised, were they ashamed because they couldn't show the truth? Absolutely. Because all they were babes in Christ. Not only when Paul was there and when he left, but he wrote the letter with the same issues. How sad would it be for us to spend time here Wednesday after Wednesday and Sunday after Sunday and through the rest of the week when you're not here and have no more grasp than what you had a year ago when you learned the grace message, 2 years ago, or even 5 years ago. That would be a shame. And a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the issue with the workman is not the issue of us doing works for righteousness, but it's the issue that we study the word to know the truth, and the works that we do deal with spiritual things so that others can know the truth. Today, if you go to all the churches all over America, what happens? You go in, You get a great feeling. I mean, that's what most do. They get a great feeling. They walk out, and I can tell you, I can remember going back to church back and forth as if it were a drug needing another feeling. I mean, that's what a drug does, right? You go up, you go down, you need to go back up again. You're moved emotionally, you're moved to all these things, and then they hand you all these works you need to do. You take care of that task, and you go to the next task, and then you move up the ladder of success, and then you ask for forgiveness, and then you start living on, and then you come back, and it's like just a religious world just full of air. In fact, in Galatians, I can't remember where the verse is, but Paul talks about it, he's written to him as if it was like beating the air. You ever just beat the air over and over? You'll get tired. And you'll get nothing accomplished. Well, that's the problem, I believe, with a lot in the grace message. They're still on elementary things like the Corinthian church. And so that's where I would encourage you, as I should encourage myself, to grasp more than that. And the only way you can do that is to take time to study. Not only to know those things that you know, but to be able to prove those things that you know. I mean, it can become very easy. It becomes very lazy because you forget about being responsible because you have so much liberty. Amen? That's a problem. That is a big, big problem. I believe, in the grace churches. And it gets very easy to miss. It gets very easy to not be faithful to what we're called to, and that's to know the Word and to know the truth. So we see that, and we have an understanding of that. Tell you what, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. One thing I remember that has been said before, I think, Steve, you talked about it in a conference, the fact of the book of Romans. I think you said the first 8 chapters, you can see justification. You know, you can see how a person is justified. You can see how we are justified. And then the next 3 chapters, you see where evidently there's the issue with Israel and what's left of them, because now there was Gentile justification. The law wasn't important. And then there was the issue with Israel, and Paul talks about that in the next 3 chapters. But in chapter 12, it's the issue where we pick up those things that we've learned, and since we know what we know now, what we do about it. And if you go to chapter 12 and look at verse 1, notice what Paul says. He says, "I beseech you, therefore," in other words, since he said all that he said before, chapters 1 through 8, about our justification and how we can be assured of our salvation and how we're dead to sin and that we don't live any way we want, because he says, God forbid, and that since he has been buried and been buried in the baptism and risen again, that we too are risen. And then he goes through the issue of what's left for Israel, and his heart was that those unbelievers of Israel would also be saved by him, because it's the only way they can be saved. Right? The issue now in chapter 12, he says, therefore. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." He calls them brethren. There must be saved, right? He's writing to a group that is saved. "By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your," what's the word? "Reasonable service." I believe if we continue to be responsible, to renew our mind day in and day out. Or let's put it this way. If somebody has a job to do, okay, I'm going to try to make it simple. If I give Grant the job to take the garbage out week in and week out, over and over and over again, and whenever he misses, I just go out there and I just move the garbage put out there. He'll never have why it's just reasonable for him to do that, because he'll never see the garbage pile up to the top of me. If I just ignore it, I don't pay attention, what's going to happen?
all this garbage is going to be ash, going to be all over the yard. And he's going, you know what I'm saying? But when he does it, okay, and he does it on his own, it just, he understands that, well, it's reasonable that I just take the garbage out, because if I don't, there are issues. Does that make sense? I mean, I know it's kind of cheesy for a reason, but I just want to make it simple. And so the issue is the same way with our daily life. After we know that we're saved and that we are, have a calling, and we need to share this, and we see who we are, not because of anything we've done, not because we've kept our list to ask for forgiveness, not because we've walked an aisle or been baptized or have been faithful to the church forever, but just because after we understand what Christ has done, not us, and we continue to transform our minds by studying to show ourselves approved, you know what happens? The way we live on the inside, instead of trusting in the flesh, we start trusting in the Spirit. Guess what happens? It just becomes the reasonable thing to do. I mean, it just becomes automatic. And let me tell you something. This is easy to write and easy to talk about, but it's something that I struggle with every day, because I not only have the responsibilities of my daily life in the world on the physical things, I have enough bills that I've made for myself that I have to work 70 hours a week. You know, there are all these things that I have put in front of me that really have hurt me to see that these things are reasonable. But there comes a point in time to where I can start working on those things, and then I can have more time in the ministry and more time doing those things that should be the most important thing. And what's that? That's being a minister of reconciliation. Right? That's being an ambassador for Christ. But if we continue to say, well, now I've taken care of this, I want this, or I want to do this, or I got to, you know what happens? Those things, after a while, just become unreasonable. We're just too busy. And then we just waste a lot of our life on what we're called to do. The Corinthian church, if you read the book, they started letting other things in. They started making men's wisdom important. They started being moved by other things. Over and over and over again. We're going to look at that over the next few weeks. But I just want you to know, Paul says, and look at this in verse 1 in chapter 12 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, since we know what we know, that Christ has done it all. He has taken care of it. Right? We have trusted in everything that He's done. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, if you just read that, it's kind of like, If you're not in your Word, and you're not doing those things that we're called to do, what's that sound like? It sounds like a lot of work, don't it? I mean, when I first read that, and I know there are things that I need to be responsible for, every time I've read that and I know that, I feel like it's work. It just, you know. I mean, when y'all read it, can you see yourself in that sometime? I mean, honestly. And Paul says, look, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. Those are those works, okay? Those are those works that he's talking about in Ephesians. A lot of people say, see, Paul talks about works. He's talking about we need to work. It's the service. And that service are things that, not what we do to be saved, it's the things that we do to further the gospel. You can't further the gospel if there are other things more important in front of you. Right? And it should be reasonable. In verse 2 he says, and be not conformed to this world. What do you think was going on in the Corinthian letter? They were being conformed to the world. We have to live in the world. Okay? But the worst thing we can do is be conformed to the world. That's what's going on. The funny thing is even in the churches today, in the mega churches, you watch them. If one church finds a program Okay? And it really works. You know what they do? They teach all the other churches all the programs. And next thing you know, the program is what's important, not the Word of God. And that becomes conformed. A lot of times we think conformed to the world, and he's talking about the lost people only. Like, they're out fishing on Sunday, or they're, you know. I can remember my mother-in-law on the way to church, when we used to go to the same church as my mother-in-law, when I went with her, we would head down the road and we would have to pass Woodpeeper. And there'd be people out there just putting their boats in the water, and I'm telling you, they were, if it was up to her, they were going to hell. Every one of them. And that's how she faced that. I mean, they're just conformed to the world. I mean, and that's funny to us, but the issue is, being conformed to the world around here is conforming to religion. The things that the other churches are doing. What do we hear around here? It's the Bible Belt. Right? Mm-hmm. To be conformed. Even churches are conforming to each other. And we're just following a pattern. Right? And we think, they do it enough? I'm telling you what, I did it enough. I just thought, well, that's reasonable. You know what I mean? What an issue whether I went to church every week or, you know, I mean, that was the issue. You know, certain times, certain ways, certain way you do things. Until that program runs out and another church gets a better program, then you got to go with that program so your church will grow again. I mean, it was great if you could be the church with that program that started everybody else's program. I'm telling you, I used to sit in meetings for hours talking about what can we do next. You know, it was never the issue of, hey, let's get into the Word and study the Word for the truth and the wisdom and the knowledge that Paul was so thankful to the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians. That was never the issue. It was the issue of what kind of billboard could we put out there? What kind of program could we start? And that's the issue. A lot of times we see don't be conformed to the world as the things that we see, but the issue is Satan is the god of this world. And he would love nothing more for you than to be involved in a fraternity or a club that names the same Jesus that we name, but they don't worship the risen Christ. They worship the Jesus that the disciples had, and they follow the red letters, and they do all the works. That's conformed to the world. Just as much so as the man that's out there fishing and not on church on Sunday. Right? That's the problem. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way it's going to be reasonable is if it becomes an everyday thing. If it becomes, when you become hungry, you stay hungry. That you put those things in front of you so we're not ashamed. So that when we have somebody contest us that may need to know the truth, we can share it. That if Paul were to write us a letter, it wouldn't be the letter like to the Corinthians, but it would be like those of the Ephesian people. That we should have that desire. There's nothing wrong with having that desire. The problem is we don't renew our minds, so we don't think about the desire because it doesn't even seem reasonable. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the only way that, and Savannah and I have been talking, I won't go into detail, but Savannah and I have been talking over the last couple of weeks over a particular topic, and I love it, man. It fires me up more than your own kids saying, asking questions and thinking and looking at things compared to what somebody else knows and how they've always been raised in the same way that I was always raised. Okay? And it was a particular thing, but the issue is we need to be in a position that it's not good enough to say, well, I think it means this. Or what, and that, this is where I'm guilty, you know, about this. Because I didn't have all the answers I wanted to give her. So don't look at her like she was. It was me, just as bad with me, too. But the issue is we need to be at a point when we renew our mind that it's so reasonable that we can prove what is good. What is good? The complete Word, rightly dividing, right? That's what's good. By the way, it's acceptable. And the word will not be perfect if we don't rightly divide it. The word is perfect, but you can never present it perfect if not rightly divided. It just don't happen. It just don't happen. In Romans 16:25, we've read it 100 times, but while we're here in Romans, we might as well go there. Paul never made it to Rome. His hope was that he could establish, that he could give them some kind of gift, that they would be established, but he never made it to Rome. But you know what? He understood the way that they're established was by his gospel. It was through his word. So that it was good enough. And that's how we renew our mind. That's how we see those things that are perfect. That's how we receive wisdom and knowledge. He says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." The issue with the Corinthians people is they were never able to get more and more and more. That was a major problem. As an example, just a couple of things that we can look at. Go to Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 1:8 instead. I'm trying to speed up a little bit. Ephesians 1:8. In Ephesians 1:8, the word says, go to Ephesians, just start in verse 1. So you can see it all. I'm sorry. But I just want you to see this, and I'm trying to skip a little bit.
Saints and faithful saints, right?
Huh?
Saints and faithful saints.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Scott. In Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful saints in Christ Jesus. Now, I talked about that last week and the difference in how he approaches. What did he say in Corinthians? I thank God on your behalf. Paul has to take the time to thank God on their behalf. They need to be thanking God. But Paul is doing it for them. But here he says, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. What is it? Is it present? No. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Was His grace rich enough? Was it rich enough to forgive us for everything, or do we need to seek more of it? Don't need to. Or His grace couldn't be very rich if we had to continue doing things. And this is said. This says, according to the riches of His grace. Well, if it's according to that, then it was enough. But in verse 8, where I wanted to go to a while ago, it says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. You'll never read those statements in 1 Corinthians. He never could. Because they were yet still as babes. You can't understand the depth of God's grace and His riches and the blessings that we have and how we're already blessed and the very things that He's done for us, and the ability to renew our mind and to show those things that are perfect, to prove those things that are perfect, if we're constantly needing to be reminded of the elementary things. And if you don't study to show yourself approved, then you will be ashamed. Promise you, been there. And I guess in closing, the biggest thing is it's not enough to just know. When you know, the most important thing is salvation. But it doesn't stop there. We have a responsibility. And I encourage y'all to understand, you know, you can go back probably 5 weeks and see, you know, less people here. And it ain't about the numbers, but it's about there's enough of us here that know enough people. Now, whether they get the truth or not, that ain't the issue. I mean, the Holy Spirit will deal with that, right? But the issue is that we know we have a responsibility. And hopefully, it should be worth the cost. If it is, we'll know that it's just reasonable. And you know what? If it's not worth the cost to take a stand by which you believe, by which you're saved, then you don't think it's reasonable. That would be sad, wouldn't it? To go throughout our life to know the truth, to know what ministry we're called to, and not think it be reasonable to share with others. Would that not be sad?